There are two basic forces, which you can look up in the dictionary, in the universe. One is called odic force, the other is called actinic force. Odic force is magnetic force. Odic force is the force of collective energies that make things, trees, chairs, tables, houses, the physical body, the aura around the physical body, is odic force. Actinic force is your pure life force, coming from the central source, deep within, out through the nerve system. But as soon as this pure life force begins to mingle with the astral atoms and the physical body atoms, it turns to odic force. The study of these two forces can give you a great awakening. Two primal forces, the Shaurashvara chakra, the Ajna chakra, the Vishuddha chakra, the top three in the head and throat centers, are primarily actinic force centers of rarefied inner consciousness within the superconscious itself. However, the Anahata chakra, the one at the heart center, which allows us to look out into the external world and within to the internal areas, is primarily a mixture of actinic force and odic force. It's called actinodic. It's a mixture of these two forces. However, the lower three chakras are primarily odic force chakras. They're the forces that make up what we call the world. The Ida and Pingala forces are basically odic forces. So therefore, when the odic force is withdrawn back into the Shushmana, back into its actinic substance, we lose complete awareness of the external world. That is how we enter meditation, by withdrawing the odic forces. The prana is the in-between. It is the actinodic force that flows in and through odic and actinic forces. It's sort of the binder of these two forces. But it's easier to relate to the word odic and the word actinic and compare these two forces because you can feel them through your physical body. Lift your arm. The movement of the spirit within, actinic force, and all the rest that happens is odic force, including the arm itself. The vibrations around the arm, they're all odic force. The mixture of what is going on is actinodic force, which is the closest, in looking at it in this way, that we come to prana, is actinodic force. These are the two basic forces of the universe. When we are in actinic force and we are aware of it, we have harmony. We have peace in all of our external life. Everything goes right and everyone sees eye to eye and finds a point of agreement, one with another. There's no argument, and there's no confusion. However, when we become conscious and awareness is flowing through the odic force realms, awareness actually thinks it is odic force, then we have inharmonious conditions to live in. No one sees eye to eye, one with another. There's argument and there is contention. Look at these chakras as vast fields of collective, related and interrelated thought realms, like vast cities. And look at awareness as the traveler through these chakras. When you are flowing awareness through one of these vast energy fields of actinodic force or actinic force with these thought or perceptive layers within it, you think a certain way as you hit each of these strata of thought. Think of it in that way, but as you travel through the nerve ganglia within the spinal cord, is registering it and bringing what you are experiencing into your immediate consciousness. You become aware of it through the nerve ganglia within the spine, through a mixture of actinic and otic force, willpower, and awareness motivates the travels through these layers of the mind. When the nerve force does begin to register when you're in a certain chakra, it begins to vibrate and it throws off color and it throws off sound. And then within you, you do see these disc-like wheels spinning. And I have experienced that. I have seen them. And they're just like they are in the picture books, but much more vivid. They have sounds. In fact, they're quite noisy because color and sound and energy are all the same thing in the inner realms. And that is how they have gotten these pictures that you see in books on mysticism and occultism. However, they're greater than that. They're great energy fields in the inner man, and the physical body has a connection to each one of these seven chakras, though you may not be aware of all of them. You may only be aware in one of them or two of them, and that is the way you think. Occasionally, a devotee will come along in meditation and have beautiful inner experiences. He's experiencing the Vishuddha chakra, and he has inner light experiences, and he's just on top of the world. A month later, he meets some karmic boomerang. He doesn't have the stamina or the discipline to hold awareness within. And he starts flowing through the second chakra. And he's saying, I've never had any experiences at all. I wonder why, second chakra's reason, I wonder why I don't have some experiences, inward experiences. And why this, and why that, and why something else? I wonder why I'm even doing meditation. And he's wondering why all the way along. And it's quite argumentative. I said, don't you remember the beautiful experience that you told me about? You came all wide open. Oh, no. No, no. He didn't remember that at all. This happens quite regularly. Therefore, to stabilize awareness so it does not flow through the first chakra, the fifth chakra, the third chakra, the second chakra, to stabilize awareness, what do we do? Attention, concentration, observation, meditation. Attention, concentration, observation, meditation. Work daily within ourselves so we stabilize. And will and awareness become one and the same. Great motivating force. So we travel through the areas of the mind that we want to, not propelled by the forces of karma as they boomerang back, not propelled by those forces. The otic force and the actinic force make up this planet. These two forces working together cause the life that we see on this planet in a superconscious state. Quite often, I see the world, the entire world, as completely transparent. Just like a great, tremendous, transparent ball. And it looks light and is floating in a clear space, a blue space. It's akasa. So it's seeing the world in akasa. and you see vibrantly these two forces working within the world. The odic force fields of the city, these are the entangling forces, the pulling forces of the city under this vision, look like little scabs, shall we say. They don't even exist. The force of the planet itself is so great, viewing it from deep within oneself. Now, coming out of that state, we can easily see how people are created. The woman holds the power of the odic force fields. The man holds the power of the actinic force field. Between them first, they make a chemicalization that brings through the physical and emotional, physical body and soul of a newborn child. Now, depending upon this chemical balance, do they give birth to an old soul or a young soul? That is why it's so important for families to live a deeply religious life. What is a religious life? The balance of these two forces, the yodic force and the actinic force, so that there's an absolute harmony between the man and the woman. This guides and governs the inner currents of the children up until the age of 21, and then they break away from the family and are governed by their own superconscious mind. I've seen this all happen from the inside out. It's a beautiful picture. And of course, with population now covering the planet as it is today, it's happening more than ever. Because the actinic forces are breaking through the odic force fields on this planet due to the New Age. Then we come to the two paths of going within. They're the path, the traditional path of the sannyasin, the traditional path of the householder, the married couple who produces the next generation. A sannyasin is a renunciate, one who has freed himself of personal desires and belongings, that is, physical things that he himself owns, and he steps out of his ego shell as a free soul. He tries in his practices to be as much like the inner body of the soul as possible. He tries to be always available, free of personal desires and emotions. If he has problems within himself, he keeps them within and works them out from within himself. A sannyasin teaches the basic philosophy, the scriptures. He's also the example of those teachings. He's a man or a woman on the path who has arrived at a certain sub-superconscious state and wishes to stay there. Therefore, releases various areas of the world, physical areas, emotional areas, and remains poised in an area, a certain lifestyle. Many sannyasins live from day to day not knowing where they're going to sleep the next night or where the next meal is coming from. And other sannyasins live in very well-regulated surroundings in ashrams and monasteries. But the basic thought behind the entire philosophy of being a sannyasin is to put one in a hothouse type condition where unfoldment can be catalyzed at a greater intensity than it could be catalyzed in the exterior areas of the world, living the so-called normal life. Innocent Yasin's renunciation, he leaves behind him family, former friends, old acquaintances, and steps out into a new pattern of sub-superconscious living. The sannyasin tries to be all spine, all actinic. And even if you see him trying, and even if he's not too successful, you know he's trying, and that is an inspiration. It is his mission in life, just because he exists, and the type of life he has dedicated himself to hold the vibration for the family. The family tries to be as actinic as possible, but they deal in the world of things, in the world of odic forces. A family structure is an odic force structure. Their meditations bring actinicity into their life, but they are producing the next generation, some of whom may be sannyasins. It is the sannyasin that keeps the religion alive on earth, keeps the philosophy vibrant, dynamic, and vital in the life of the family. It is the family that provides the physical sustenance for the sannyasin. There are orders of sannyasin who deliberately put themselves at a physical disadvantage to cause the family to take care of them, to feed them. The family feeds the sannyasin feeds spiritual teaching back to the family. It's an even exchange. The two forces, odic and actinic, are seen working in a vital dance of life, lifkau kalif, between the sannyasin and the family. When a devotee comes to a guru, the devotee makes up his mind, is this my guru? Or shall I continue looking for another guru? But once he decides, this is my guru, he then tries to prove himself to the guru, to prove that he is a serious student, to make the guru interested in him. In doing so, he works through various areas of the subconscious mind very quickly. The guru sits back and watches him do this. Finally, he reaches an area of sub-superconsciousness. The guru steps forward and gives sadhana, certain requirements, certain disciplines for the devotee to follow, and sits back and watches. The devotee works with sadhana and finally fulfills the requirements necessary to please the guru. At that point, he receives initiation from the guru and begins a personal training. For at that point, the guru feels the initiate, who has at that time become a sannyasin, a complete renunciate. The guru feels that the initiate is ready to help him bring beginning students along on the path. And in this way, and in many other ways, the initiate, the sannyasin, receives an intimate and personal training from the guru himself. Now later on, if the initiate does extremely well And should a certain time in his life come, he is ordained by the Guru. A transfer of spiritual power from the Guru to the initiate, which enhances the spiritual power that the initiate already has awakened and is using within himself. The sannyasin, he is living a life dedicated to be samshumbisi, to live in the shushmana current and in the vishuddha chakra and anahata chakra to the very best of his ability. The path of the family, who is producing the next generation of sannyasin as well as family people, they are also dedicated to live in the samshumbisi, the shushmana current, to live in the anahata chakra, as well as the manapuri chakra will, because they have to motivate the forces of the world itself and to keep a balance of the ida and the pingala force within their home. The man is predominantly in the pingala force. The woman is predominantly in the ida force. When they together can strike a balance, then both of them are in the shushmana force and can soar within, and their children come through from the higher chakras, from the inner chakras, and are, shall we say, shushmana children rather than ida children or pingala children. Their children don't come off the astral plane. Their children come from the deep inner planes. Now, if the woman becomes pingala predominantly, the man becomes ida predominantly, then we have odic force generated in the home. And they bicker and they argue. And the children are upset and the home is upset. And sometimes it gets so bad that they just say, Shumnadi, goodbye for now. Wait until these forces quiet down. And they go off and go their own separate ways, but still remaining in the same pingala channel or the ida channel, they'll generate it wherever they go. In understanding how awareness flows, very easy. There are no great rules or complicated systems that one has to follow to be a good sannyasin or a good family man or woman. A good sannyasin turns inward. A good family man turns inward. A good family woman turns inward. Together they cause their children to turn inward. Who is the spiritual leader of the house? The family man. He has to take the spiritual initiative. If he does, everything works out naturally in his house in a very beautiful way. If he doesn't, then the forces are not working as well for him or his family. Why? The stabilizing influence isn't there. The Eastern tradition is a good tradition to follow because they, the rishis of ancient times, have understood how these forces work within man and within woman. And they work absolutely the same within man as they do within woman. Except the pingala force is stronger than in the family man because he has to go out and brave the world. The ida force is stronger in the family woman because she has to stay home and take care of the family as well as generate the forces within her body to bring through the next generation. The family man, being in the Simshumbisi current, therefore stabilizes the forces of the home. And if he is meditating and going within, the family woman won't have to meditate and go within. She automatically will go within on the power of his meditation, as well as the children will automatically go within on the power of his meditation. I really think the finest attitude toward the family life is in the northern part of Ceylon, the area that surrounds my ashram in Alavati. These wonderful people have for thousands of years approached their home life in a certain way. The code of living of the woman is so entirely different than the code of living of the man that they blend and they have happy homes and happy faces to go along with it. Happy children as a product of these happy homes. This has been in the culture. They don't treat each other like pals, nor does the wife try to dominate the husband. That's looked down upon as being ignorant and crude. You found the wife respecting the husband, his intelligence, his integrity, but more than all, his being, his spirit. And this honor and respect in the home makes the home a holy place. It's uplifting to enter the homes of these people. Try to find odic force and identify it. Then try to find actinic force and identify it in your own body. Try to find the pingala force. Try to find the Ida force. Try to find the Shushmana force. Identify these forces and the rates of vibration of these forces. Be consciously aware within them. Then your own superconscious will unfold vast knowing from within you. And you'll just be amazed at the revelations that you will have, which will be much more profound, deeper than anything that I could stand and explain to you. One thing to remember, a family man is the guru of his household. If he wants to find out how to be a good guru, he just has to observe how his guru is a good guru. That's all. He learns through observation. Next guideline, family woman, to be a good mother, she flows her awareness with the awareness of the child. And because she has been through the same series of experiences as the child has, or is going through, she knows what to do next. She would only make a mistake if she forgot about the child and took her awareness completely away and left the awareness of the child to flounder around as it may. But if she flows and keeps her awareness flowing right along with the child, everything is fine. Child is raised perfectly, providing the family man is the stabilizer of the forces. What's it mean by being the spiritual head of the house? He is responsible for stabilizing the forces. If the odic force gets too strong in the home, then he has to work in himself and he has to bring through more actinic force within himself and go deep within and bring the consciousness of the entire family into one of the inner chakras. How does he do this? Simply does this by moving his own awareness and everyone else follows. Odic force is magnetic force. Actinic force comes from the central source of life itself, spiritual force, spirit, pure life. It is the magnetic forces that hold a home together and keep everything going along smoothly. Theotic force. If a family man and woman are both flowing through the Pingala current, the magnetic forces become strong and congested in the atmosphere of the home. And an inharmonious condition will result. They'll argue. If the man, as well as the family woman, are flowing through the Ida current, the magnetic forces get too strong in the home and they become too physical, too physically attracted to one another. And again, they'll anger and they'll fight. They'll be unreasonable with one another. They'll have these unreasonable arguments that you said this and why did you say that? However, if each understands, or at least the family man understands, how the forces work and realizes that a man flows through a different area of the mind than a woman does, then what? Everything is harmonious. He's in his realm, she's in her realm, and he's not trying to make her flow through the same area of the mind that he's flowing through. And of course, if she is in her realm, she's not going to try to make him flow through the same area of the mind, because women don't do that. It's generally a man who does not want or understand how to become the spiritual head of his house. He wants the woman to flow through the same area of the mind that he is and be sort of like brother or sort of like pal. And therefore, he gets everything goes along with it. Arguments and fights and scraps and as well as good times too. But the forces of the home aren't building. They're not strong. And it doesn't become a sanctified place in which they can bring through inner plane beings into reincarnation. They do have children under these conditions. They're simply taking potluck off the astral. A man goes through his intellectual cycles in facing the problems of the external world. Woman has to be strong enough or understanding enough to allow him to go through those cycles. A woman goes through emotional cycles and feeling cycles as she has to live within the home, raise the family, and take care of him. He has to be understanding enough to understand and allow her to go through those cycles. For the Pingala force, the Vumtiyuti force, goes through these cycles of the intellect and the creative cycles. Everything that man, so-called man, brings through from inner planes, which we call creating with his mind, in the normal term, is done through this actinodic force and the Pingala force. He has to go through those cycles. He's not going to always be smooth and living in the inner chakras. She has to realize this. A woman living in the Ida current will go through her emotional cycles. He has to be wise enough to allow that. Rather than arguing or talking about the cycles, the man who is spiritual head of his house goes within himself to the Shushmana and withdraws the energies from the Pingala and the Ida within himself, comes out of his meditation, she sees him as a different being and a new atmosphere and relationship is created in the home immediately. The man paying attention to the temple and the temple activity and throwing his energy into the work of the temple and the teaching and the studying of Shum and teaching it to his own family, which is teaching religion right within his home, brings the inner forces into play and harmonizes the odic forces of the Ida and the Pingala. Then the children grow up as young disciples of the mother and the father. They grow up and they learn of inner things. It's the duty of the mother and the father to give to the child at a very early age his first religious training and his first education in attention, concentration, observation, and meditation, as well as to understand that the child is also going through. He's a boy child, he's going through the Pingala. First 7 years, the first chakra of memory. Second 7 years, reason. It's the girl child going through the Ida current. We'll go through emotional cycles. First 7 years, memory. Second 7 years, reason. When this understanding comes within the home, what do we have? We have the same thing that happens in the monastery with the sannyasins or the renunciate. The same understanding of where each one is flowing in consciousness. It's understanding, not argument or discussion about it. Then what happens? Through the powers of understanding, we have a give and take and a beautiful flow of the forces. And what happens? The next generation comes through to the family, and the sannyasins work with the family man, the family woman, to bring them into the inner being so that they can bring through the next generation of great inner being souls and bring them to the earth plane. And it's a beautiful cycle. Each one plays his part in the cycle. And if it's done through wisdom, through understanding, we have a home that's of the same vibration as the temple and as the monastery would be for the sannyasin. A man makes a mistake if he begins being the spiritual head of his house, doesn't mean he's the preacher. And if he stands the mother up and he says, now you are in the Ida force and I want you to get into the Shushumna force and I'll give you 15 minutes in order to do so because we are going to have a terrific meditation. She responds. She does. Her awareness moves right out of the Ida force because she is obedient. But because he's not being an example and in the Shushmana himself, she moves right out of the area into the Pingala force and she has a thing or two to say to him. Well, I noticed 3 days ago that you weren't so much in the Shushmana force yourself. Otherwise, you wouldn't have done this and this and this. And then 3 weeks ago, you did this and this and this. And away we go. It's the silent minister. He has to be the silent minister, the silent spiritual head, working quietly within himself. Conditions get strenuous within the home. He feels the power of his spine and he finds that that is not affected at all. And he enjoys the bliss of his own energy within the spine. And he finds ways and means to create joy and happiness, make the otic forces that have gone into a sticky, heavy condition beautiful and buoyant and lovely. And then finally, everything subsides. This is the positive, powerful spiritual head of the home, guru of the home. Of course, there are hours of talk and hours of discussion that we could go in along these lines. And we will, as time goes on, think over these things. Woman, being in the Ida current predominantly, doesn't think or flow through the same areas of the thought strata as the man would. And if he wants her to think the same way that he is thinking, he's mistaken. Because once they have a balance in the home of the forces, she is not going to think. She'll think a little bit, but she won't go into the ramified thinking that he's going to go into. And if he wants to sit down and have discussions with her or use her as a sounding board, he's simply going to throw her into the pingala current and she'll give him what's for if she's going through one of her emotional cycles. He has to renounce that. He has to realize that she doesn't think that she's going through a physical cycle, but her intuition is keen. And she'll have beautiful intuitive flashes which will just pop out of her. And she might explain to him spontaneously the answer to what he happens to be thinking about without him having verbally expressed to her what he was thinking about. This happens quite often in the positive, harmonious home. But a tremendous confusion can exist within the family if the man and the woman think that they are the same and are flowing through the same areas. The only area that they should flow through together is the Simshumbisi, the Shushmana current, and when they're both intently in the intuitive mind, they'll unravel deep and profound things together. But when he's in the intellectual mind, she's taking care of the home, then he's alone. And she is in the home making things nice for him, and he has to get out of the intellectual mind into the spiritual currents of his superconsciousness in order to communicate with her at all, other than on a feeling in a subconscious, homey, physical level. For harmony to exist between a man and a woman, he has to live fully within his own nature. And she needs to live fully within her own nature. They're each kings and queens of their respective realms. If each, the man and the woman, respects each other's nature, respects the area of the mind that each other are flowing through, then we have a harmonious condition in the home. In the world of the sannyasin, there are the monks and the nuns, both men and women, each one respecting the area that the other one is predominantly flowing through. Good rule to remember. The man does not discuss his intellectual or business problems with the woman, and she does not work outside the home. He takes his problems in. He discusses them with other men. He has a problem, he goes to an expert. Doesn't come home and talk it over. She's not an expert. She doesn't know anything about it. If she did, she'd be functioning in the pingala current again. He'd be in the pingala current. The forces would get congested in the home. The kids would yell and scream and cry. And away we go again. The home has to have that beautiful temple-like vibration. When he comes back to his home, even in approaching it, walking up the steps, he tries to be in some shumbisi, in the shushmana current, and withdraw his awareness from the pingala current, because he doesn't want to disturb her and bring her into the pingala current. That's what he does, being the spiritual head of the home. Woman depends on a man for security. She depends on herself for her inner security. He's the guide. He's the example. A man creates this security by setting a positive spiritual example. She sees him in meditation. She sees light around his head and light within his spine. She's secure. She knows that the intuition is going to direct the intellect when he's in the outside world. He is decisive. He handles his pingala force in a decisive way, and he keeps it outside the home. And when he's at home, he turns to inner and spiritual things. He controls his emotional nature, and he doesn't scold her if she has a hard time controlling her emotional nature, because he realizes that she's in the Ida force and goes through emotional cycles. Just like, in the very same way, she doesn't scold him if he's having a terrible time intellectually solving several business problems, because she knows he's in the intellectual force. That's what happens in that realm of the mind. She devotes her thought and her energies to making the home beautiful for him, for the children. He devotes his thought and energies for providing sustenance and security and everything for that home. Men seek understanding through observation. Women seek harmony through devotion. Men must observe what's going on within the home and work with it, not talk too much about it. He must remember that his wife is making a home for him, and therefore appreciate the vibration. And if he is doing well in his inner life, and is steady and strong, she is devoted, he will go along beautifully, and she will go along beautifully in her inner life too. She must flow along with him and back him up in his desires and his ambitions and what he wants to do in the outside world. Make him feel strong. Make him stand up straight. And all the little things that are done to create this, she can create a successful man out of her husband very, very easily by using her wonderful intuitive powers in doing this. And they both make a contemplative life out of building the home in a rahnam, a temple-like vibration. So it's blissful and it's uplifting, and then they bring through from deep inner planes old, great souls to live in this temple-like vibration. In the very same way, the guru brings into his monastery and ashram great old souls to live and work as sannyasis and act as stabilizing influences for the families. And they're both kind and gentle, firm in their own nature, and inwardly strong. Hatha Yoga, Vinyasa, is extremely important in balancing the actinodic force of the Simshumbisi the actinic forces through the entire body and the otic force field of the body. For each position that you put the body in, you are in a definite mind flow. When we stand up straight, we're in a definite mind flow. And the straighter we stand, the more positive and powerful we are and feel on the inside. As soon as we start to slump and our posture becomes bad, we're in another mind flow. We cannot face things so strongly with our shoulders slumped over and our knees bent a little bit and our head down. We have put ourselves into a certain area of mind where we think and react. So it is with Vanasana. Each position that you place the body in, energies are flowing through the body. A different type of energy begins to become awakened and flow from Simshumbisi, the Shushmana, right on out through the physical body. Work on this at least once a day. As soon as you get up in the morning, go through the Hatha Yoga asana one at a time, either quickly or slowly, depending upon the time that you have. And then you live through the day with this beautiful actinodic energy flowing through the otic force fields of your physical and emotional body. And look at each of these positions as an area of the mind. Each position should be easy to do. If it's not, there is an area of the mind that awareness can't get into. If we cannot hold on to our toes with our knees straight, that simply means there's an area of the mind that awareness can't get into as easily. The nerve system and the muscle system, the tendon structure has to be adjusted and loosened up. Generally, when students have a difficult time sitting in the lotus position, it simply means that their awareness is externalized a wee bit more than even they would want it to be. But as soon as the awareness becomes internalized, the lotus position is very easy for them. This is the position that should be worked on, really worked on a daily basis, so that you can sit in the lotus position at least a half an hour every day. At least a half an hour every day is really a must to sustain the inner awakening and flow of awareness that you have stimulated and released into so far. Home life will be so much better with all members of the family doing a little Hatha Yoga each day. But again, the man must take the lead. Work with the Hatha Yoga. Try to understand how the breath, the position of the physical body, and the flow of awareness relate one to another each time you place your body in one of these asanas. Go in and in and in. Feel every current of the body. Feel the currents of the body as they adjust one to another. Then when you reach the peak, move into the next position. Feel the flow of awareness. Feel the currents of the physical body. Feel the circulatory system. Run awareness all through the body. Run your awareness through your legs, through your feet, through your arms, through your back, through your chest, through your head. Run awareness through the circulatory system, through the energy system, through the muscle system. Come to know the physical body. You will actually even begin to mentally see the different organs of the body. And if you don't know where they are, get an anatomy book, look them up. Find out where the liver is. Become acquainted with it. The heart, the kidneys, the lungs. Discover within yourself how they work as you're doing your banasana. Try to feel how the astral body works within the physical body. Feel how the intellectual body works within the physical body and brings new energy within the physical body. You could be physically tired and all of a sudden get a delightfully new idea and be filled with energy and rush out to fulfill it. You could be physically tired and all of a sudden have an emotional upheaval that would bring energy and you'd rush out to fulfill the emotion. You could be physically tired and all of a sudden flow awareness into Simshumbisi, into the actinic energy flow, and sit for meditation for half an hour and be invigorated because of it. Understand how these energies work. This is getting into the practice. You've had the mechanics of the inner being, now the practice. We can study, we can memorize, we can know all of these things, but until we apply them to ourselves and actually sit down, become acquainted with the energies within our foot, move your foot, try to study how awareness and willpower and energy are the same thing and how you become aware of all the inner currents within the foot itself. Work with each of the parts of the body like this. Then what happens? You become consciously conscious within the physical body itself. When you're consciously conscious within the physical body, you then take the astral body. Then take the mental body. Study each one out separately. Take each chakra one at a time. Study memory. Study reason and the forces of will.